This podcast was recorded Thursday, October 7th at 10:40 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like Congress will just realize it's useless to have a debt ceiling if they just keep raising it.
It's like a sunroof, kind of? Like a,
what's the point?
A retractable ceiling?
Just get rid of it.
Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and the shrewd Snollygosters who seek your vote. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, Governor DeWine travels to the Mexican border to stop drug traffickers and maybe, just maybe, get some footage for upcoming TV campaign ads. But first, Republican efforts to ban or limit vaccine mandates continues at the State House.
Yeah, it has been a tortured effort so far. First, Republicans who oppose vaccine mandates brought in medical experts who testified that the COVID-19 vaccine magnetizes you and then connects you to a 5G wireless network. Shocking to tell you this, Mike, but those are false claims.
I was hoping that 5G connection would be better. But anyway, then last week they tried to speed a bill through that would have allowed mandates, but also allow basically anyone to write themselves an exception. The exceptions included religious and medical reasons, but also natural immunity to COVID and reasons of conscience. Business groups balked at that.
Yeah, reasons of conscience, a little broad. Now they are trying again, though, at a slower pace, albeit, to pass a bill that would allow exemptions to COVID vaccine mandates for religious, medical, and natural immunity. But people working in hospital intensive care units, children's hospitals, and people hired after the bill becomes law would not be exempt. They would still be subject to those mandates.
Yeah, lots of questions here. And joining us to discuss this latest battle in the vaccine mandate war is Ohio Public Radio's Andy Chow. Andy, welcome back to Snollygoster.
Hey, guys.
So how is this hearing, the first day of hearings?
Is it actually science-based this time?
Was it any different than the last one?
You know, what we're seeing now is really a rollout of just trying to save face here, where the Republican leadership in the Ohio House are saying, okay, you all complained about not being able to have hearings. I'm giving you a chance. I'm going to give you up to 14 hours of an opportunity to testify on this bill. And what we saw on the first day was not a lot of people showed up. And then the second day, we do have a lot more people lined up, mostly opponents of the bill. So we got doctors groups, hospital groups, business groups coming out saying they don't like this bill. So what remains to be seen is this attempt to change the process to lengthen the amount of committee hearings that we have on the bill. Is it actually going to result in anything, or is it just a way for the Republican leadership to say, here, we gave you your chance to speak?
What groups are in favor of this bill? I know that the freedom advocates, if you will, are, you know, they don't want any vaccine mandates. But if you have doctor groups opposed to this, if you have business groups opposed to this, are there any large organizations or coalitions or anything that are for this bill?
No. And in fact, last week, House Speaker Bob Kupp basically said, when you have all these groups coming out against it, maybe you're doing something right. I don't know if everybody's going to agree with that logic or not, but he's saying that what he's trying to do is thread a needle from among a Republican caucus that is very diverse. You have people in the Republican caucus who don't want to do anything to vaccine mandates. You have people in the caucus who want to ban all vaccine mandates, not just the COVID vaccine, but MMR and all these other vaccines that have proven to be helpful over decades. And so what they're trying to do is find a bill that can appease everybody. And I think what we're seeing is it's not going to appease everybody. And then it's also going to anger these big time groups that Republicans usually like the support of, including the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, these business groups.
Yeah, these business groups are saying, and there was testimony in the hearings, that, you know, they should be allowed, even if you don't say, even if you don't agree with the vaccine or the vaccine mandate, you should be allowed to, as a business owner, require your employees to get this vaccine and others. And one business person said, if that person doesn't want to work here, then that's okay. That's their freedom, the freedom to choose to work someplace else.
And something that's been really interesting in these hearings is that the talking points that you usually hear from the Democrats and those that you usually hear from the Republicans have kind of skewed a little bit. They've kind of flip-flopped. And so now you have these Republicans sort of making the case for why private businesses shouldn't have the rights to do things. And so it has been a very interesting change in the paradigm here, where you have Republicans who are trying to make the argument for why the government should mandate how businesses, how private business owners run their companies.
You know, Andy, you talk about talking points that were made and how this is made for some sort of odd bedfellows, or at least it's separated two normal bedfellows in Republicans and the Ohio Chamber of Commerce. We should say the Ohio Medical Freedom Coalition. I don't know how large that group is. I don't think it's that large, but they are one of the groups that does support this bill. And at one point in the hearing, a member of that coalition compared the vaccine mandates to slavery, and that did not go over too well, right?
No, it didn't go over well at all. And Democratic Representative Juanita Brent made sure to point out the atrocities that happened in slavery. By no way the whatever is going on with people who are wanting to claim medical freedom, that their issues don't compare at all to what happened in slavery, of course. And so to compare it to something like slavery is a complete insult. And that is something that happened in committee. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that in other bills, for hearings for other bills that would prohibit vaccine mandates, we've heard things like that, and this is a false claim, of course, that the vaccine makes you magnetized. These are things, these are comments that are being made in an Ohio House committee chamber. And for a while now, they've kind of been made without any sort of rebuttal. Even the Democrats, you know, there weren't a lot of Democrats coming out against the person who claimed that the COVID-19 vaccine made you magnetized. And I think it's because they thought, well, this is just such an obviously wrong claim that nobody's going to listen. But the problem is people are listening. These hearings are broadcast and streamed and people can see it. So now what you're kind of seeing is a little bit more of a new attitude coming from the House Democrats, saying that they're not going to stand for this anymore. And I think they're almost bolstered by the fact that I think they're looking at the other side. They're looking at the House Republicans and saying, oh, they don't have the votes to get what they really want. So maybe the Democrats do have some more muscle in all this.
Yeah, at some point, I mean, you know, our Snodgrass rule, we could probably amend it now. Please do not compare anything to Nazi Germany, and please do not compare anything to slavery, unless you're talking about, you know, genocide or other instances of slavery. It should be just the basic 101 for political debate. But I think when it comes to the whole magnetize, the Democrats maybe kept quiet there because it was so ridiculous. I mean, the woman put the key on her neck and it didn't stay. And I mean, but so that one, you said, you know what, you let them hang themselves on that.
Yeah.
Now, you certainly should call someone out when they compare it to slavery or the Holocaust or something like that. But are they vetting the folks a little more carefully this time? Are we going to see the magnetized testimony in these hearings, do you think? Did we see that yesterday? Do we expect to see it today on Thursday?
We haven't seen much. And as far as the testimony, as far as the witnesses that are lined up to testify in the second day of hearings, it's mostly opponents.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of business groups coming out. You've got hospital associations, medical professionals, healthcare networks coming out against this. So this really seems to be the time for opponents to raise their voice and raise their concern, which again sort of brings up the question, where is this bill going to go? Because another thing to point out is that it's currently in the House Commerce and Labor Committee. And it's actually, this is technical, but it's actually an informal hearing, which means this committee cannot at this point even add amendments to it. So what's going to happen to this bill? We just don't know yet.
Yeah, I want to be on the record as saying that I am all for ridiculous House testimony. As a self-styled political pundit, troublemaker, I love it.
Gives us content.
I mean, it's ridiculous and it's terrible for American democracy, and it's not a good thing that it actually happens.
But as Andy said, someone's going to believe this stuff.
I know. I'm kidding, of course.
The one thing that I think is nice is accountability. You know, these things have always been said in House chambers, but maybe sometimes people didn't know. Now you do have cameras to show, to have more transparency. Now the double edge of that sword is that then it does get a wider viewership and possibility.
Stephen Colbert.
Except when social.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Except when social media networks yank it off of their platform because it's so blatantly false. Andy, the Delta variant appears to have peaked in the U.S. The infection rate here in Ohio has declined for several straight days. Now it's at its lowest point in over a month. Cases still happening, obviously, people still being hospitalized and dying. But it seems like the worst of this may be behind us, at least if you look at the numbers. Would you expect the political rhetoric to follow that curve at all and for things to tone down when it comes to mandates and it comes to exemptions and it comes to people really being divided over this issue?
I actually think that we're going to see it ramp up because the numbers are going down, much like what we saw in 2020, because all the mitigation efforts that Governor Mike DeWine put in with then Director of the Ohio Department of Health, Dr. Amy Acton, we saw those numbers go down. But when those numbers went down, you had a lot of people saying, well, why did we have to wear masks? Why did we have to shut down? Why did we have to socially distance? Now what we have is this order coming down from President Joe Biden that's about to take place. And if we have lower numbers, I think you're going to hear a lot of people, a lot of those people being here in the State House, even fight even harder against these mandates if the numbers show to be less, even though we know that those numbers could be going down, are going down because of vaccination.
Andy, how much of this is political grandstanding by Republicans who fear challenges in their upcoming primary elections?
Oh, it's a great question, because what we've heard over and over again, and especially lately, I've tried to talk to different Republican legislators from all around the state and try to get their viewpoints on this. And sort of a common theme I'm getting is that they themselves believe in the vaccine. They themselves are vaccinated and they believe in the efficacy of the vaccine. And another common thing they keep saying is, but I keep getting calls from people in my district. And I think a lot of this has to do with really trying to appease people in their districts while not angering the business groups too much and not, you know, having some sort of ramification on public health. And I do think that that's where they're trying to thread this needle. Although this exemptions bill is widely criticized, a lot of people say this is still very much not where the state should be going when it comes to public health policy. It's very, very watered down compared to what we have seen over the past couple of months in the Ohio House.
Yeah. And do you see, because there was, you know, there's an article in the New York Times a few weeks back that talk about strange alliances during this debate, that the folks who have always been opposed to vaccine mandates in schools, you know, vaccines for the measles, mumps and rubella and chickenpox and things like that, have glommed onto this as a way to advance their agenda. And most of those folks tend to be on the far left. Although you're hearing from the traditional anti-vaccine folks, are they joining this debate?
It's absolutely what's going on, because there has been a small minority of the state that's always wanted a ban on all vaccine mandates and have always wanted more exemptions put into state law so that parents can stop get out of allowing their kids to get the vaccine before they have to go to school. That's been an issue at the State House for years now, and they have attached themselves to the COVID-19 vaccine hesitancy. And I think what we're seeing, and this is sort of to the credit of public hearings, is that more and more Republican legislators have been able to get more better information, I guess. And at one time, it really did seem like the most extreme bill had momentum. But then after some more time went by, I think you started to see some softening from several Republican legislators who sort of started to see the writing on the wall and say, oh, we maybe need to address COVID-19 vaccines differently than these other vaccines that have been proven to work over years and years and years.
Yeah.
And that's why we're seeing a shift in policy, I think.
State House correspondent Andy Chow helping us get a better understanding of the latest bill that would include broad exemptions for COVID-19 vaccine mandates in Ohio. Andy, next time we talk, we hope this issue's all sorted out, okay? The pandemic will be behind us and no more political rhetoric, and we'll be fine.
We'll all have terrific 5G connections too, hopefully.
Yep.
Yeah, we could talk about nuclear power plants again.
I won't have to search for a fridge magnet because no, that is the
you'll never lose your keys, and you'll have great 5G. What? This is great stuff. Anyway,
Andy, thanks again.
All right, thanks, Steve. Thanks, okay. Mike.
Thank you, Andy. We'll be right back.
On All Sides with Ann Fisher, we cover the topics that affect life in Central Ohio, from immigration to the economy to the continuing opioid crisis.
But the reality is, if you don't save someone who's overdosed, they have no opportunity to recover.
Hear thoughtful, in-depth conversations about the issues that matter now. Subscribe to the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. This week, Governor Mike DeWine took his video production crew and his wife, Fran, on the road to Mexico. Almost to Mexico.
Yes, the governor went to Mission, Texas, where he joined other Republican governors who joined Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who then denounced President Biden's immigration policies. They're right there on the Rio Grande on the Mexican border. While Mission, Texas is 1,600 miles away from Columbus, Governor DeWine says illegal crossings bring fentanyl to Ohio, which has led to thousands and thousands of opioid overdose deaths.
80% or so of our deaths in Ohio of overdoses are fentanyl, and it's coming across this border.
So, Mike DeWine, going to the Texas border. Ironically, there are several governors there, all Republicans. I think there were like six or seven, and all but one was running for re-election next year.
Shocking.
Yes, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the Ohio National Guard was already there. DeWine greeted some troops who were there for non-law enforcement purposes.
I think they're fixing vehicles.
Are they fixed?
Doing maintenance, that kind of stuff. To free up the border agents to patrol the border.
Yeah, this is no surprise. This is what very conservative governors do.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think it's a bad look, or what do you?
No, it's a serious issue. I mean, let's face it: fentanyl coming across the border from Mexico is a very serious issue, and it's certainly an issue for the governor of Ohio
Serious issue for the Columbus police.
Yes, who are
two Columbus cops were charged with
recently charged with
distributing fentanyl.
17 pounds of fentanyl, which is enough to kill an entire city. Anyway, so it's a big issue. There's no doubt it's a big issue, but you can't help but wonder about the optics of this, the timing of it. Governor DeWine is trying to satisfy the far right in the Republican Party in Ohio. He's trying to win back some of those Trump voters who have not liked his approach to COVID and state mandates. And now he's walking along the wall. He's getting his picture taken with the National Guard. It's a photo op. I don't think there's much. He could have honestly had the same impact on the border and fentanyl in Ohio from Columbus as he would in Texas. But he went down to show his support for Greg Abbott and push for immigration changes.
At least we're not seeing the same thing that happened in Idaho. Have you followed that at all? The Idaho governor was one of the ones who went to Texas. Mm-hmm. And the lieutenant governor, who is much more conservative than the governor, thought that put them in charge of the state while the governor was gone. And so the lieutenant governor started making conservative orders or executive orders that the governor would not sign off on. And
Houston should be listening.
They were given an education in American civics that is not how things work.
No,
the governor is no longer governor because they went to Texas.
That's right. They go to meetings out of state once in a while. Yeah. Talk about a story there.
Yeah. This could be the Snollygoster of the week.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting to the Snollygoster of the week, we will give it to Mike DeWine.
Yeah, it's a pretty short move.
For probably doing a photo op on state time.
Those pictures will show up in campaign ads this coming spring.
Of course they will. Yeah, he'll be right there by the border, by sections of border wall, or right there by the Rio Grande saying that
fighting to protect Ohioans from dangerous fentanyl. That's what it will be.
Mm-hmm.
And for secure borders.
So congrats to Mike DeWine. If you have a suggestion for next week, you can email it to us at snollygoster@wosu.org. You can also leave us a good review on iTunes, and please, as always, just tell your friends about us. For our audio producer, Eric French, and our web producer, Michael DeVonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.